Are you ready to hear a word from the Lord? On August the 1st, in my private time with God, early in that morning, I was reading through the book of Philippians. And as I was reading through that book, the Lord really stirred my heart and really captured my attention through two verses found in that book that I have been familiar with for years in my life. I mean, it's such a powerful book. And periodically, when God really brings a couple of verses to your heart, I let them marinate on my heart. I try to test them over the next few days and see whether or not God is really speaking in order to articulate what I believe He is saying. Therefore, I share some of that with you today. I got challenged through these two verses just to take God at His word. There's a lot of power when we just take God at His word, when we don't try to manufacture it or try to make it appropriate for our lives, but we simply do what He says. This is a word about what God says we ought to do about one of the greatest cultural issues in our day. The issue that is personal, the issue that is national, and the issue that obviously is international. It is the issue of worry. Because in these two verses, God talks to us and gives to us what I'm calling today God's prescription for overcoming worry. I didn't say God's description, but His prescription. What has He said to us? I want you to look with me in the Word of God in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. And in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, I want to read a couple of verses to you. They're powerful verses. Do you have your Bible with you? Somewhere, I hope you have a copy of God's Word. But in this, we listen to these words in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of His great word. You see, Paul was located in a Roman jail cell when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he felt the unction to write what we call the book of Philippians. It was a letter to a church in Philippi. And in this letter, in this book that we call the book of Philippians, it's quite an articulate book. For example, Paul's life was under major threat, and all of that part of the world, those who were following Christ, are under major threat. You'd realize that every day across the world, people are being persecuted greatly for their faith and their trust in Jesus. Yesterday, we saw the answer to a major prayer. For 3 years, an Iranian pastor had been imprisoned in that nation for speaking forth the word of Jesus Christ. And they said he was going to be killed, executed for the last many months. But yesterday, to the glory of God, he was released from prison, and God brought an answer to prayer. Please understand, when the Lord did that, it was a mighty moment yesterday. Well, in Paul's day, threat was looming everywhere. It was not hidden in a certain part of the world, but where this new movement was formulating, there was a group of people that would formulate themselves into what was brand new terminology in that day, a church. Churches were being planted all over that region of the world, and threat was looming everywhere. That's why Paul talks in chapter 1 of Philippians. You know what? It's a privilege to partner with you in the gospel. It's a privilege to advance the gospel of Christ across the world, and thank you for partnering with me. But you know what? Threat is looming, and he used these words, powerful words, but for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. In chapter 2, he talks about the kind of attitude we ought to have, and that attitude of humility in chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, the greatest Christological statement, perhaps, Paul ever made about who Jesus was and is. In chapter 3, we are challenged about leaving behind those things that so easily mess us up, and we go forward to those things that are ahead. Paul talked about keeping your mind on the Lord and your attitude on Jesus. But in chapter 4, he gets into some pretty sticky stuff. He confronts publicly, by name, two women in the church who were causing problems with one another and causing problems in the church. They were having a disagreement. And Paul just calls it like it is. And he tells them, stop it. He called their names. Perhaps if we started calling names of people that caused disruption in church, we'd have less disruption. Maybe a few less pastors, but it'd be fun doing it. I'd like to try it once. But I mean, he called them by name, and he then told the church, don't sit there and ignore it and act like it's not going on. Encourage them to make it right. And he told them what? He told them to agree in the Lord. Get your eyes off of this other stuff, but agree in the Lord. And it's very interesting what Paul did. I find it very encouraging, Julio and Eric, because while he was rebuking them, he also commended them. He believed in restoration, and that's what restoration does. Restoration calls it like it is, but restoration is also there reminding them of where they've been. And he said, these two women have contended with me for the gospel. He's basically saying they're good, but they're messed up right now, and they need to get their lives centered on the Lord. And that's why Paul ended up saying, let your joy be in the Lord. You're never going to have joy on all these other things. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He talked about how we need to be gracious to one another. And then he starts these two powerful verses that begin to prescribe to us how to overcome this major personal and cultural issue that each one of us face. For example, he tells us these words, don't worry about anything. Wow. Because that's part of that prescription. Don't worry about anything. That word worry is a word that means to be pulled apart. It's a word that means to be pulled in different directions. It means to be torn apart. It means to be troubled with cares. It means to be strangled emotionally. Is that not what worry does with you and with me? It pulls us in different directions. It tears us apart. It strangles us emotionally. And it troubles us with many, many cares. If you were to imagine today two men, one on each side of me, having a hold of my arms, and they were pulling me in opposite directions with the goal to destroy me. to kill me. Listen, that's what worry does. That's the exact word picture that's being painted here. It tears you apart. The thing that amazes me is that it even talks about how worry strangles you emotionally. Because is that not exactly what worry does? Worry drains you emotionally. Worry drains you physically. It drains you mentally. I mean, think of what would happen in the healthcare industry in America alone if we could learn to overcome worry. Would there be less sickness? Would there be less need to deal with certain issues that we're dealing with in the culture today? Absolutely. Because it is never the will of God for us to carry the burdens of life weighted down by the worries of this world. You see, the pull is in opposite directions. For example, you're pulled over here. That's called faith. But what pulls opposite? Fear. Over here, you're pulled by trust in God. But over here, you're pulled to control everything you can possibly control. Is that not what happens? Exactly. That's why you feel so pulled apart. Over here you have the Word of God, but over here you have what everybody else tells you. Over here you have the mind of Christ, but over here you have your own mind. Paul says when we operate in that world, it weights us down. It strangles us emotionally. We must understand when we worry, it wears us out. And the more we worry, the more worn out we become. Let me pose this for a moment. Why is worry problematic? Why is worry such a problem? Now, I want to reflect for a moment. Here is a man whose life is in major threat. And he's talking to a church, and he was trying to help a group of people come to more Christ-likeness. And he tells them worry becomes problematic. What does that mean? Why is worry problematic for your life? Because worry robs you of joy in the present. That's what it does. Worry gets your eyes off of the moment and gets your eyes on something in the past, something else out there, or something in the future. Worry is deadly. It robs you of the present. You know how many times in your life you have present? Once. You only have this moment right now. That's it. You don't have it 5 years from now, you have it now. It's one breath, one moment in your life. And when we are strangled emotionally, carrying the weight of the world, worrying, what happens here? It robs us of our joy. That's why Paul said, ladies and church, get your eyes back on Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be gracious with one another. And oh yes, don't worry about anything. Why does worry become problematic? Because worry indicates a lack of trust in God. Do you realize every time you worry, it demonstrates that you lack trust in God? It doesn't mean you bury your head in the sand and you're not affected by the things of life. You are affected by the things of life. This is not about acting like there's some pie-in-the-sky deal you can buy into as a Christian where you're never affected. You are affected. The issue Paul is addressing is one thing, how you handle it. What you do with it. And that's where it becomes problematic, because many times we don't handle it God's way. When we trust in God, that means I'm going to trust in His power to carry me through what I'm concerned about. It means I'm going to trust in His will regardless of what happens. I'm going to trust in His will. It means I'm going to trust in His sovereign purpose of what's going on in life, whatever that sovereign purpose may be. But I'm trusting Him. Don't worry about what? Anything. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. Not one thing. Not one occasion. Nothing. And then He tells us something else. With a grateful heart, pray about everything. Oh, that's part of the prescription. With a grateful heart, pray about everything. Oh, wonder what he means here. He uses a word here. If you will look at it in chapter 4, verse number 6, don't worry about anything, but, that's what we call a conjunction, but, let me put it this way, rather, because that's what it means, rather. In other words, rather than worrying about anything, I would rather you come to God with a grateful heart and pray about everything. So he says here, rather than worry, better than worry is when you pray about everything. Everything meaning everything individually in your life, all things. Everything meaning collectively, all things in your business, all things in church, all things in your own life, in your family. Praying about all things. They're very, very important. God's word here says, how do we handle them? Through prayer. Through prayer. That means through prayer we dismiss or we give our worries to God. We address our worries to God. Prayer is talking to God about whatever is going on in our lives. Many of those things are what? Choking us emotionally, draining us emotionally, wearing us out even physically because we are so concerned about them. Think about it this way. How often in your life do you sell or give away the present because you're worried about the future? How many times in your life have you imagined, and some of you have the gift of imagining, the worst case scenario for every situation? Anybody have that gift here and want to admit it? Be careful. I'm afraid there'd be quite a large support group. We imagine the worst case scenario, and yet you move your whole life. What if, oh my, what if, oh, and you waste a week worrying about that one thing. How often do you have the present? Just once. Is it worth losing the present for that? Over something that hasn't even happened yet? He said, with a grateful heart, pray about everything, he says. How do you do it? You make a petition to God. That means that you earnestly talk to God about your needs and your wants. Earnestly talk to God about your needs and your wants. Well, I thought God didn't want us to come and talk about our wants and our needs. Oh, God doesn't mind you when you come to Him and talk to you about to Him about your wants and your needs. Are you bothered when your child comes to you and asks you for something they want or something they need? No, you're not bothered by that if you're a true parent. Now, you know what? It might bother you if they've been told 500 times no and they're still asking. But you know what? Let me tell you about God. God's never bothered by that. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Jesus honors persistence when you pray. He's not perturbed when you're persistent coming to Him about your needs and your wants. He Himself modeled that, did He not? John 17. Did He not do the same over in the book of Matthew and every gospel when it talks about the Garden of Gethsemane. Does not Gethsemane and what happens in that special garden place before the Lord was crucified and the moments before he was crucified, did it not represent that? It was a moment he expressed to God about his needs and his wants. But he conformed all to what? One thing. Not my will, but your will be done. So we have to make our petitions known to God. And how are we to do it? With thanksgiving, the scripture says. With thanksgiving. That means giving of thanks. That means a gratitude to God. Oh, listen. When we fill our prayers with gratitude to God, it shapes the way we make our requests to God. I believe that's why God put them together here in His Word. When you don't have a grateful heart and you're not expressing about your needs, your wants, your issues with gratitude, then all it becomes is centered on you. And it's not centered on Him. And most of our praying is very immature, centered on us and not focused on Him. Gratitude. Oh, listen, aren't you a little more sensitive to someone who asks you for something when they have a need or a want if they express their gratitude for what you've done before? And your gratitude expressed for what you mean to their life? I'm telling you, I have better ears. I have a more open heart when people learn the power of those two incredible words in the English language. Thank you. Thank you. Are you a thankful person? Are you a person that is filled with gratitude? When's the last time have you gone up to your boss and thanked him or her for your job? A lot of people don't have a job. When's the last time have you been thankful for matters in your life, experiences in your life that people have walked with you through? Listen, it changes everything when you have a heart of gratitude. Because a heart of gratitude takes you up in your life and it alters, it shapes the way you pray when you have a grateful heart. Early in the morning, or the first thing of every day, take your worries to God. Talk to God about your worries. I think if there's any real message here, it's this. Listen to this. With all worries, go to God. Are you with me? With all things that are draining us, go to God. He didn't say go to others. He didn't say go to Facebook or Twitter or some part of social networking and, you know, just having diarrhea of the mouth with everybody who wants to read what you got to say. Excuse the expression this early. But that's exactly what happens. It's absolutely ridiculous what people say in social networking. You know, I want to remind all of us today, all that's a matter of record, and we're accountable for it. All of us had better remember, it can't come back to haunt you. You know, when we hire people at Cross Church, we look on their Facebook account, we look on their Twitter account, other matters of where we can learn about them, and if they're negative, why do I want to pay them to be around me? If they're cynical, I'm not about to have them. If they question authority constantly, why do I want them around me? I got enough people questioning me every day. Why do I want to pay for the privilege for them to question me all day long and be cynical about Jesus' church, which Jesus was never cynical about but crazy about? Are you following me? We need to understand, and young people, listen to me today, be careful what you put out there. It can hurt you. The Word of God here says, go to God first. Go to God first. Does that mean you can't share your heart? Yes, you can share your heart. But when your heart is in tune with God first, you're going to be a lot wiser about what you put on social networking. You're going to be a lot sharper with the way you talk to other people. So there is a powerful, gracious glory that comes from God when we go to God first in our lives. Therefore, the prescription continues. What does he say next? Let your request be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. Well, what does this word request mean? It means things that we ask for. That's what a request is. It means specific things. It means all things. Not just generally asking, but specifically asking. God doesn't answer your prayers in wholesale. He answers it in retail. Therefore, specifically, go to God about what's on your heart. And the Bible says you make them known. Make them known meaning what? To make God fully knowledgeable of those things. You say, well, God knows everything. Why does God need to become fully knowledgeable? I mean, you know, he's got a lot of people to take care of. He doesn't need to hear from me about all of my knowledge, what's going on in my life. Yes, he does, because you have to understand, every time you make God fully knowledgeable of a need or a request you have in your life, in your business, in your church, in your life socially, in your life generally, what happens? You're demonstrating faith in God. God wants to be your first choice, not your last choice when you pray. Usually we pray when everything else has failed. Prayer needs to be your first choice, not your last choice. That's the heartbeat of what he's saying here in the book. And notice what he said, make it known to God. Let your request be made known to, say his name, God. To God. Why? Because God is my advantage. The only thing that separates me is that I have somebody who gives me an edge, an advantage. And it's God who gives me an advantage. We live in a very high competitive culture here in Northwest Arkansas. I love the culture because in this culture, God has raised up so many great companies, and through it, hundreds and hundreds have come to serve those major forces. Why have those companies so arisen? Why? Because they have created an edge in what they do, an advantage. Well, as a Christian, listen to me today. God is your advantage. Going to God is your edge. And he said, let your requests be made known to God. So what do we need to remember? Let me articulate it. Here's what we need to remember. Don't tell others, tell God. Tell God. I mean, I can tell Gina all day long about some issue I got, but all I'm going to do is extend the infection of my worry and extend the catastrophe of my carnality. Don't tell others, tell God. You say, well, God says that we need to bear one another's burdens. Yes, after we talk to God, because it's going to shape the way I think, shape the way I say it, shape my perspective, and I have a whole different realm of life when that happens. And then he says, be specific. List them before God. That's what he talks about on this request. Be specific about it. Oh, listen, don't hold back from being specific. Write them out. Articulate them to God. Talk to God about it specifically. If you were to get a hold of my iPad, I mean, you will find on my iPad an extensive prayer list that I go through every day. I pray for a lot of people specifically. You see, what I've learned in my life is the more mature I become in the Lord, the more joy and power I feel in my life spiritually when I intercede for people. Because it keeps prayer not just on me and my little life, because I'm just one little life, but it puts me into gospel territory, powerful territory, where God can use my prayers and God can enable me and empower me even as I articulate and I can pray. And you know what? I am seeing God answer things today that I have prayed for a long time. It's amazing. One day when I die, if someone wants to go in my study, they can find out a lot of things about me. A lot of things. You see, at the end of my prayer time every day, since 1990, January 1, I've closed my prayer time by writing a prayer to God. Dear God, every day. You're going to find out how warped I am, find out how feeble I am, how human I am, and you're going to find out God answered a lot of those prayers personally, for our church, for life, for ministry, for the advancement of the gospel. I believe in the power of prayer, but I believe even more so in the power of specifically letting my request be made known to God. Can I get an amen in the house of God? That's what he says. You know, I realize today, I mean, we got a lot of people concerned about our nation, rightfully so. We need to be concerned about our nation. I mean, in the last little while, we've seen God get booed, Israel get stiff-armed, and abortion get applauded. We got issues, but you hear me. Our issues are not just political. Let your request be made known to God. You don't need to be talking about your nation if you don't talk to God about your nation first. Did you hear me? Because the way you talk to God will alter your heart, because you believe that God is the one who gives us an advantage. It's not a democratic society that gives us an advantage. It is that God gives us an advantage. And that's the privilege of the Christian faith. Praise God. And then he says this final thing. Receive the peace of God. Receive the peace of God. Oh, listen, this is powerful. He says, make your request, your specific request, make them known to God. Tell them to God, and then you will receive the peace of God that will guard your heart. It doesn't say that order for nothing. That order is given specifically. Don't worry about anything. With a grateful heart, pray about everything. Let your request be made known to God. And then receive the peace of God. Right? That's what he says. That's when we receive it. Oh, listen, I've been in prayer meetings. I've been in meetings where people have been so concerned. And they, oh, God, give us peace, give us peace, give us peace. Peace ain't going to come until we let our request be made known to God. And that's when God sends his peace to his people. The peace of God ushering into your heart, you know what that is? That is a military term. And it's like God sends the peace troops into your life once you have made your request known to God, and the peace troops surround your heart and keep you from doubting, from fear, from all of these other matters that can so easily get in our way to trusting the God of heaven. Do you realize that this is where the safety is? The safety is in the peace of God. It's not in people. The security is in the peace of God. It's not in people. Oh, my friend, listen today. We need to understand that it's God and God alone who gives us that safety. God and God alone who gives us that peace. God and God alone who gives us that security in life. I may feel more, quote, secure by telling all my stuff to everybody else first, but listen, that's not going to give you security. Because you know what? The moment you think you're going to say that in confidence, somebody else is going to hear that, and your confidence is going to be broken. Very few people in your life can really, really, really maintain confidence. Just test it one time. Tell them some juicy deal. Most of the time, you'll hear it from somewhere else. Confidence. Your confidence can't be in what others hear from you. Your confidence has to be in the God who, when you talk to him, he sends a troop around you, troops around you, the peace troops, and they come and they guard you. They make you secure and safe, that when fear comes and attacks you in your weakness, I've given it to God, and I'm giving it to God. And by the way, give it to God every day. Give it to God every day. It's not a once every now and then. It's every day, because life is a fight every day. And that's the way we deal with it personally and spiritually. The peace of God can exist in your life because the Prince of Peace is already in your life if you know Christ. And when we pray, you know what we become aware of? The peace that is already in our life, because the Prince of Peace is the one who dwells in life. So what now? Let's talk about this and then we'll be gone. Worry, is it pulling you apart? What is draining you in your life? What is emotionally strangling you today? Something at the job? People at the job? I had this pastor in my office here this past week of a church in a major city, came here just to see me. Wanted an hour of my time to ask me about all this. And after a while, after I heard all of his questions, they were great questions, but all of it had to do basically with the kind of people he had around him. And I made this statement around him: the biggest stress in your life would be by the people that you have around you. I mean, you look at your job, where are most of your problems? Most of them aren't with policy. It's not with procedure. It's with people. Guess what? God's told us how to get along. And one of the ways to get along is to talk to God about where we are and to pray for people and to pray for ourselves. So whatever is strangling you, whatever it is personally, deal with it today. How do I deal with it? All right, with this, we'll move to closure. How many of you have a Bible with you today? Or you have the Bible on your phone or your iPad, and you have it with you today, and you've been looking, to the best of your knowledge, at what we've been talking about? How many of y'all have that with you? You have it with you? All right, many of you do. Hopefully all of you do. Now listen, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Whatever is weighting you down, whatever is emotionally challenging you, whatever is going on that is causing this worry issue, bring the Word with you. That's right. In just a moment, after I pray, bring the word of God, however you have it, bring it with you to the altar. If you can kneel, kneel. If you can't, stand. Just go through Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's right there. It's right there. God, you've said not to worry about anything. I got some of that going on. Lord, I'm grateful for the way you have moved in my life. But God, I need you now to know I want to talk to you about all this stuff. And then specifically let your requests be made known to God. And then ask the peace troops to come and to guard your heart always. Oh, friend, listen today. If we will do that, we will save ourselves a lot of feelings, a lot of challenges, and a lot of stuff we're walking through right now in our life. If we will just handle life God's way.